Let there be voice. And hey, listen, as one of our own, we are very much alike, Canadians and Australians. We are essentially under the Queen, and we don't usually find that kind of rapport down in the US. You know, there are a bunch of rebellers down there, and we are compliant in Australia and Canada, so glory to God for compliance. And I just want to let you know, I have driven so far about 2,500 miles from Texas through probably 10 states in the United States, and there is every flag that we saw was flying at half staff in honor of our Queen. And so, you know, there's a tremendous witness there, and I say, thank the Lord. And so we remember the Queen and all of that's involved in her life. So, but we're here today to talk about the King of Kings. Amen. I'd like you to turn, if you can, with me for a few moments to Matthew chapter 22. Just a little bit of context for me. I was born in Australia of English parents, and my parents were missionaries who came to America. There's always a woman involved in big travels, and yes, there was a woman involved and to marry. And after about 20 years in industry, I felt the Lord call me to ministry. I felt the Lord earlier calling me to ministry, but I was upset at the Lord. I thought at age 30 that the Lord was going to see the typical patterns in biblical history and have somebody come down from the platform, lay their hands on me and call me into the ministry. But I had to go find the Lord on a plane going to Muscle Shoals, Alabama, and speaking to me out of 1 Timothy, and not a novice. So I guess I'm not a novice right now. So. And ended up in a little town in the panhandle of Texas. If there's any place in all of the world as distant from the coast that I love than Dumas, Texas, I don't know what it is. And but look on your maps. When you get home, find out where Dumas, Texas is, north of Amarillo. And I served the Lord in ministry, pastoring a church there for 25 years. And many times, David and Carolyn, John and Susan, here in the front row as well. Many other people from Pennsylvania and various parts around the U.S. would gather together in that small town, and we would have a convention, a conference. And great were the times, and wonderful was the presence of the Lord, and vibrant was the singing, the praising, the worship, and the declaration of God's goodness to each and every one of us. And so this relationship here, I'm really dependent on David this morning because I forgot my socks, and so I'm wearing David's socks. So if there's something smelly about my sermon this morning, it's really David's socks. So anyway, it's good to be here. I appreciate the Spirit of the Lord here this morning. And I was thinking about the song that we sung, All My Life, You Have Been Faithful. And I've seen the young lady that made that song popularized. And but here I'm worshiping this morning with a group of people that can really, really, really say, all my life, the Lord has been good and faithful. And so we are all moving on, but God is not, we're just not moving on, but God is drawing us higher. Praise the Lord. Let's read the word of the Lord this morning. This is Jesus just prior to his crucifixion, and he's speaking to the people that had really come to examine him. And his answer to the Herodians, the Sadducees, and the Pharisees is this, in chapter 22 of Matthew, verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ?" I want to dwell on those few words. I'm going to read the rest of the context here. Jesus said to them, "What think ye of Christ?" We've already heard this morning that we need a renewed mind, and this is a big area of revelation in the particularly in the New Testament, but all through the Scriptures. But Jesus says, "What think ye of Christ?" And that's going to be a challenge to each of one of us this morning. What do you think of Christ? And what does he mean to you? And Jesus went on and said, "Whose son?" He narrowed it down for them. He said, "Whose son is he?" And they said unto him, "Well, of course, he's the son of David." And Jesus said unto them, "How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord,'" that is Yahweh, "said unto my Lord Adonai, 'Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies your footstool.' If David then call him Lord, how is he his son?" And so these are words that Jesus is quoting from Psalm 110, the most often quoted Old Testament passage in the New Testament. And so it has a significance. And Jesus is bringing that to the people here. And I want to tailor my words this morning to three points: the confrontation, the call, and the Christ. The confrontation, the call, and the Christ. And the confrontation here is that Jesus has been approached by the Herodians, starting in chapter 22 and verse 15. And the intent, the Herodians, the Sadducees, and the Pharisees, and they were sent out by the Sanhedrin to entangle Jesus in his own words. And of course, Jesus handled every one of those challenges, and he applied to their questions the wisdom of God, and he confounded them completely. And so we see here in the passages that the verses that I read, we see that Jesus now is no longer being questioned. He has refuted all their questions and all their challenges and all their attempts, their feeble attempts to entangle Jesus in his own words and to reveal him as a fraud and so on. But Jesus has answered all that, and now he begins to ask them a question. And so he quotes them a scripture, and he said, "What think you of Christ?" And as I was, David and Carolyn have been very gracious in hosting me for several days, and I've been sleeping really well. I mean, I got up and I slept in till 8 o'clock yesterday morning. But last night I'm tossing and turning. I'm weighing the things of the scriptures and where the Lord wants me to speak and what to say. And I woke up this morning and I felt a challenge to you all. And we're not just talking in the abstract this morning. We're not talking about 2,000 years ago. But the question comes to us in our hearts: what think us of Christ? What do we really think of Christ? And so of necessity there, that has to come into our hearts, and we have to weigh the things that, and the scripture talks about being renewed in the spirit of our minds. So we have to weigh these things, and many times the challenge is, well, we think we know what Christ is and who he is and what he represents. And we've got it down. And I like the song that we sung this morning. Or is it sang this morning? I get those words wrong. But I'm sorry, Lord, when I've come with my own agenda. I'm sorry, Lord, when I've limited what I know of you to what I actually know myself. There's a lot more of you that I should be searching out. Amen? And so the challenge is to us this morning, what do we think of Christ? Because the question is as pertinent today as it was 2,000 years ago. And so the challenge is to us, not just a 2,000-year-old question. And as we look around today, we might be like a Gideon. If God be for us, Gideon said, why have all these things happened to us? And we might have questions in our own hearts, and we might be going to God and saying, Lord, you want me to do this, but if you're really God, then why has this happened? We just had a whole list of prayers for people that are sick or needing to know the Lord as Savior. You know, we might come to the Lord rather than in prayer, we might come to the Lord grumbling and complaining, if you were God, why has that happened to me? And so this question is so pertinent. I remember reading about Rebecca. You know, she had Isaac and Jacob in her womb, and they were like, you know, I was thinking about that when we were praying for the lady that's got twins, and they're wrestling in the womb, and Rebecca's had enough of this wrestling going on in her womb already, and so she goes to God and says, why am I thus? It's a great question. And we might ask ourselves, you know, where are you, Lord? And so the challenge is real. What think we of Christ? And the Lord necessarily needs to come into our lives and confront many of the preconceived ideas that we have. And that's very challenging to us. And especially people of my vintage. I'm 66 years of age. And so, you know, I'm pretty sure I know everything. But I'm dwarfed by this guy down here and maybe some of you who are much older than I. You know, we can't put God in a box. What do you think of Christ? And so Jesus turns from being the one that's under attack and questioning, and he begins asking them the fundamental question upon which the ages hang. What about Christ? Who is he? And of course, the Jews in those days, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians, the legal beagles and so on and so forth, they thought they had him figured out, and they were well taught. They had this idea of the Messiah that was coming, and they answered in a very traditional way. Well, of course everybody knows he's the son of David. But they never had really understood the scriptures. And they've got, you know, and Jesus later on said to the Pharisees that, you know, you do greatly err because you do not know the scriptures and you reject the power of God. May that never be something that the Lord says of us. Teach us, O Lord, your ways. Amen.